Everyone should have the source sheets. So I wanted to speak about Tinus Esther. And I wanted to start with the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Tanios, Perkei, discusses the following situation. Nogu kol Yisrael bizmanim elul hisanos b'shloshasar adar zecher l'tainis shehisna'u b'yemei haman shenemar divrei tzomos uza akasam. This is the source of the idea of Tinus Esther on the 13th of Adar every year. However, im chal shlosha asar ba'adar lios b'shabbos, if the 13th falls out on Shabbos, when might that happen? This year. A very relevant, timely shir. Makdimin umas'anin b'chamishi shu'achar asar. When do we have the fast? Well, we can't have it on Shabbos. So when do we have the fast? The way you can figure it out is we don't have shir next week. Because next week the fast is on Thursday. We move it up to the 11th instead of doing it on Tinus Esther itself, which of course is on Shabbos. Aval echad midaladi me'atzomo shechal yos b'Shabbos dochon oso l'achar Shabbos. However, says the Rambam, this is an anomaly. Because calendarically, other fasts could fall on Shabbos. But those fasts, also obviously can't be done on Shabbos, but in those other fasts, if they would fall out on Shabbos, we'd push the fast later to Sunday. The only exception of all of the rabbinic fasts is Tinus Esther, which we make earlier on Thursday. Why not on a Friday? Because our Shabbos, it would take away from our preparation for Shabbos. So we push it even 2 days earlier to Thursday. But of course, the obvious question is, why should Tinus Esther be different? If all the other fasts we push later to Sunday, why Tinus Esther do we push earlier to Thursday? So I'd like to answer that question. And to answer that question, I'd like to understand deeper and better the whole nature of Tinus Esther. Take a look at the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis. Because this Gemara will call into question, as we'll see the Rishonim we're going to ask, the whole existence even of Tinus Esther. Right? We thought we had one question. The next question is going to be even more powerful. The Gemara is talking about something which you may be familiar with called Megillas Tinus, which was a scroll that listed all of the dates in the Jewish calendar where Hashem made a miracle for us. And the halacha was that on those days, not only could you not fast on those days to commemorate the Nes, but you also could not fast on the day before and day after. Right? We're a religion that loves food. Any excuse that we can't fast, we find it. Each time there's a miracle, there'd be 3 days you couldn't fast. The day of, the day before, and the day after. However, says the Gemara, Hilchasa, we have a tradition, Bitlu. We have a tradition that the Megillas Tinus was cancelled. It's no more longer relevant. However, Hilchasa lo Bitlu. We have an absolutely contradictory tradition that says just the opposite. That they were not Mevatalit. How do we resolve this contradiction? Kasha hilchasa hilchasa. Lo kasha, says the Gemara, no. Kan b'chanukah v'purim, kan b'shar yomei. Chanukah and Purim are part of the Megillas Tinus. They're the most famous of it, but they were also listed on the list. Why? Maybe the reason the Chanukah and Purim are so famous is because they were not in this batel. They were never canceled. They were never nullified, as we know. You can't fast on Purim or the days before or after. You can't fast on Chanukah or the days before or the day after. So when the Gemara says Bitlu, it's referring to all the other Tanios. When it says Lo Bitlu, it's referring to Chanukah and Purim. So what you get from this Gemara is simply Megillas Tinus is irrelevant still for Chanukah and Purim. Ask Tosfos the obvious question. If Megillas Tinus is relevant for Chanukah, then it comes out that it's usher to fast the day before Purim. Small little problem. Im Tomar, Kevin Damer Lachakar Biosi Hechanu Misanin Lifnei Purim. Dimishem the Butlo Megillas Tinus become Achma Chanukah v'Purim Lo Bitlu. How can we even have a whole notion of Tinus Esther any year? Isn't fasting the day before Purim, which we do every year, a violation of the Megillas Tinus, which does not allow you to fast the day before Purim? This is Tosfos' question. You can't get a better question than that. Yesh Lomar says, Tosfos, Hodam Rechanukah v'Purim lo bitlu rotza lomar, hadinin shalom la'asos en yomtov, udolis ana bahon, haldin delifneihem batlu. So one answer possibly, says Tosfos, is, even when Nechayim Rechanukah and Purim, we didn't mean that Megillas Tinus is still in full force. We meant that it's enforced on the day of Purim, the days of Chanukah. But the idea that there would be a bookend, a bracket, both before and after the holidays, where it's usher to fast, or usher to have hespedim, eulogies, that, even for Hanukkah and Purim, weren't as batel, and therefore, if it wouldn't have been for a separate takana of Tainus Esther and Echanami, it would be usher to fast. Stam to fast, Erev Purim, it may be. It's just that there's a special halacha of Tainus Esther. So maybe this halacha of Megillas Tainus does not apply in terms of the bracketed, the day before and day after, but in terms of the only in terms of Purim and Hanukkah itself. That's one possible answer. A second answer, which I did not put on the sheet, is in the Ran. The Ran there in Masechta Rosh Hashanah. And the Ran says that why is it that by the Oraisa days of celebration, Yomim Tovim, we don't have this idea of Usher to fast the day before and day after. Only these anonymous, small-time, very, you know, minor league-type days, which get this added special covered of you can't fast the day before, day after. So the Ran says it's paradoxical. Adarabba, because the Yomim Tovim are so chazak and so strong, the Oraisa days don't need any help to give them covered, to give them the right attention. Because we're all geared up for the Oraisa days of Simcha anyway. But these little days, which no one ever even heard of in the Megillas Tainus, people wouldn't take them seriously enough unless they had to build up to them. And that is where we have this idea of bracketing. So that's usually the case. But Purim, how this helps for Hanukkah is an interesting question. But Purim, at least, because it's written in Tanakh, it's in Megillas Esther, it's Medivrei Kabbalah. There's a lot of evidence. This is actually one of them. A lot of evidence that Purim, and specifically the mitzvah of Megillah, but Purim in general, have certain elements of Daraisa into them. And here's an example. Says the Ran, in this sense, Purim is more equivalent to a Daraisa than it is to these Derabanan days, because it's written in the Megillah, and therefore does not need Chizuk. That's a second answer. A third answer is given by both the Ravid, quoted in the Ran in Masechet Tainus, as well as the Kolbo, which is on your sheet. Says the Kolbo, an important chiddush, which is going to now be the anchor in part for the rest of our shir. Yei shenagu l'sanos b'yom gimel, we have Tainus Esther. Even though it's the day before Purim, why is that allowed? Levishalo nesa el Tainus shel tsar. What says the Kolbo? Wants to tell me their own words. What's the chiluk? What's the answer of the Kolbo? Fundamental chiluk. Yeah. You have to sharpen that.
It's his own fast.
It's a happy fast.
That's what we're looking for. Thank you. He contrasts Tainus Esther with the other Tzomos. You're right. But what's the key distinction? The other fasts are what he calls the Tainus of Tsar. They're painful recollections, painful memories. Tainus Esther, our stomach is in pain. But the rest of us should be happy. Because what is it reminding us of? The fact, as he says so beautifully, that when a person's b'tzara, and they'll fast, and they'll do tshuva, and they'll daven to Hashem, he'll save them. That's a happy thing. That's a good thing. And remembering that, commemorating that, is a happy thing. The Ravid has a similar lashon, and Rav Soloveitchik developed a whole approach to Tainus Esther based on this idea of the Kolbo and the Ravid. Take a look at the Hari Kedem. He starts off by quoting the Ravid, which again, it's a very sharp formulation, but in essence it's the same as the Kolbo. Says the Ravid, Yud Gimel Eino Dom L'Shar Tanios. Tainus Esther is different than other fast days. The Zikaron Hu L'Neis Shina Asebo. Right? The Kolbo only told us what Tainus Esther wasn't, and we figured out what it was. But here, the Ravid says explicitly, it's not a Tainus of Tsar. On the contrary, it's a Tainus, which is a memory of a Nes. Furthermore, he adds, Smach, from the Megillah, fine, that's not as important for us. But the Ikar is the Lashon, that it's a Zikaron of a Nes, which if you put it together with the Kolbo, it's not a Tainus shel Tsar, rather it's a Zikaron of the Nes. Therefore, summarizing of Soloveitchik's development of this, two lines below, Umavur b'dvarov, the Tainus Esther Shayeches B'Yisoda Le'inyan Persumei Nisa U'Cheshar Yimei Purim U'Meishach Shayech Le'Yom HaPurim Atzmo U'Me'achar Shekein Ein HaTainus Stir L'Simcha Klal U'Mutter L'Hisanos B'Yom L'Fnei HaPurim The Yisod HaIsser Shal Yomim Shal L'Fneihem U'Mishum Zeh Stir L'Simcha Zol Shayech B'Tainus Esther U'Chanal. So aside from just repeating what the Ravid in the Kalbo says, in this formulation he adds a point, which is that, as the Rav, building on the Kalbo and the Ravid, explains, it's not just that Tainus Esther is unique because it is a Tainus of Simcha and Zecher of a Nes. He takes it one step further. And that is that it is inherently connected to Purim. If I had to ask you a question before we started this year, what's the relationship between Tainus Esther and Purim? Lech Ora, they're two independent days. Lech Ora, they're almost even opposites. Certainly the way we celebrate them are opposites. Says of Salvation, you see from the Ravid, you see from the Kobo, that would be a mistake. They're inextricably connected, intertwined. Because part of the celebration of Purim is enhanced because it's coming in the aftermath of the Tainus. The Tainus sets the stage for the celebration. If you don't know that they were vulnerable and threatened, and therefore as a result, davened to Hashem and were answered, you can't even have half an appreciation for Purim. Purim without Tainus Esther is a different holiday. The Pursumi Nisa, which we know is a dominant theme in Purim, is accented, is highlighted, because of the connection between Tainus Esther leading in to Purim. If you didn't have that connection, it wouldn't be the same thing. And therefore, speaking now more affirmatively, well, so what is Tainus Esther? Tainus Esther accents the Nes of Purim. And therefore, it's not just a Zikaron of the Nes. It is part of or connected in a very fundamental way to the holiday of Purim. Therefore, in terms of this point of Megillas Tainus, now we understand the Kalbo and the Ravid. When can't you fast on a day before a Megillas Tainus? Only if that's a sad day leading into a happy day. But here you have a happy day leading into a happy day. It's just that the way we celebrate the happy day, the one day, is to remember how vulnerable they felt by fasting, and therefore that'll give us a greater appreciation for the celebration the next day. Yeah?
According to the second answer that we gave,
yeah.
So why, in what way is Purim considered Megillas Tainus? if it's not like all the other days, because it's
stated in Tanakh,
how is it like Megillas Tainus?
It's in Megillas Tainus. But the point is, it's in Megillas Tainus, it's one, and therefore you can't fast on Purim itself. But why, what about the idea that you can't fast the day before Purim? No, that's only if the fasting before would be a stira. But here, the enechanami, if there wouldn't be Tainus Esther, for example, this year, well, it's a Shabbos thing, but I don't know, in theory, if there wouldn't be a Tainus Esther, and you just wanted to fast Stam, that would be a violation. But the fast of Tainus Esther, which is a celebratory fast, which leads into and enhances the Purim itself, that is not Esther, yeah. One of those things, yeah.
So,
you couldn't fast.
Right. So, what did they do
before? I don't know. Good question. I don't know. Yeah.
Is that part of just Miguel's Tainus in general, like Batel, if you have a happy fast, or is it only specifically here because it's so connected to the
Nes? It's not that Miguel's Tainus is Batel. It's that this is not a violation of Miguel's Tainus. According to this answer, as I understand it, unlike, let's say, the Tosus or the Ran, they're saying that, no, Ein Hanami, Megillas Tainus is in full force for Hanukkah and Purim, including the Isser fasting the day before. But we're fasting for Tainus Esther. Yeah, not that kind of fast. Not all fasts are created equal. Not all fasts are included in the prohibition of Megillas Tainus. That's exactly the point. He says explicitly, only a fast of Tsar is Osir on the day before Megillas Tainus. This is not a fast of Tsar. He's saying that that's always what it was. He's not changing anything. I mean, you could disagree with him. Maybe other Rishonim disagreed. He's saying, no, that is always what it was. It's just that that doesn't apply to Tainus Esther, if you understand Tainus Esther the way they are. Yeah?
What exactly is a Tainus Shel Simcha? We're saying Slichos,
exactly, because we're commemorating the feeling that they had then. It's just the commemoration. You know, the bottom line is, we know how this ended, right? So on Aser B'Tavis, we know how it ended bad, so we're sad. On Tainus Esther, we know it ended good. But again, I'm trying to make the point, we're going to see it, I think, in the next sources in a minute. It's not just that because we know it ended good, therefore we can be happy now. The idea is, in a certain sense, it is to feel a certain vulnerability. But vulnerability, or even fear, is not the same thing as sadness. Because when we know that all the vulnerability and fear was washed away by Hashem's salvation the next day on Purim, so then we're not sad at all. On the contrary, we're even more appreciative of what he did on Purim if we really get in touch with what we're supposed to feel on Tainus Esther. If you take a look at the next source, the Rambam has he has the most famous Sefer HaMitzvos, but there's also a Minyan HaMitzvos that the Rambam has in the beginning of Mishneh Torah. And there, in his introduction to that, in his Psicha, he says the following. He's talking about why are Mitzvos Derabbanan not a violation of Baal Tosef. At one point when I was younger and thought I was very clever, like I was going to get out of all sorts of Mitzvos, I said to my Rebbe, but I don't have to listen to the X or Y, because that's Baal Tosef. So I was very smart, right? Not exactly. But the Rishonim were very smart, and the Rishonim were bothered by this question. This is a classical question. Of course, everyone assumes that there can't be a problem because Rosh Chazal wouldn't have done it. But the question is, why are Takanas Darabanan not a violation of adding to the Torah, which is an Isser Daraisa? So there are various approaches to this answer, but here the Rambam says, Elakach anu omrim, shanevi'im in beistin, tiknu v'tzivu lukros ha-megillah. Gives it a paradigm of all mitzvahs that are abundant, says the Rambam, is Megillah. In that time, in Purim in general. Hazkir shivchav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to remember the praises of Hashem. Uteshuos, the salvation sh'asalanu they did for us. Payakarav l'shaveinu, and he was therefore to remind us that he's karav. Even we cry out, l'shaveinu. If we'll cry out, 2010, 2011, if we cry out, Hashem is karav eleinu, Hashem is close to us, he can answer us, just like he answered them during Purim. Kirei levarchu, lahallo, kirei ledio, ledoros habayim. Whereas the Rambam is defending the legitimacy of these dinim derabanan, he says generally, it's not on the part that I read here, because Chazal, it's a marketing issue. Technically speaking, his answer is that it's a marketing issue. That's not what I didn't put on the sheet. That if Chazal would make it seem like it was a daraisa, that'd be a problem. As long as Chazal have full disclosure, you know, made in China, you know, legislated by the rabbis, they don't pretend that it's a daraisa, that's his technical answer. But then he's going further here. And he makes the point specifically when it comes to Hanukkah, because it's not just a question of self-promotion, you know, we're a rabbinic, not daraisa. But more than that, it's the idea that this Darabanan is coming, Purim in general, Megillah specifically, to accent and to support a Da'oraisa idea. Namely the idea of Hashem intervening into our world, idea of Tefillah, which according to the Rambam, L'shitaso, the Rambam holds that Tefillah is Da'oraisa, even the Ramban holds that Tefillah-based Tzara is Da'oraisa. So these ideas are accented through the Hanukkah, for the Purim story, and through Megillah. There's a Sefer, we'll quote it again in a few minutes, but I didn't put this part of it on the sheet. A sefer called the Kuntros Chanukah U'Megillah, who was written by like a Talmud chaver of the Brisker Rav. Rav Turtzin was his name, lived in Yerushalayim. And in the first simon, he quotes this Rambam there, and he makes the point that we were making, that the Rav Salvechik was making before in the Kolbo. Here he makes it in the Rambam. The idea that you see, he's not talking about Tanis Esther, the Rambam, but the idea you see from the Rambam is that Purim in general, it's all about this idea of Hashem answering our tefillos and saving us. Well, that's exactly what these other Rishonim were saying about Tainus Esther. That idea, which is one of the themes of Purim itself, says the Rambam, clearly if you couple Purim with Tainus Esther beforehand, we don't just commemorate the salvation, but commemorate the vulnerability and the davening and the calling out. So then the overall message, which is what the Rambam says is the message of Purim to begin with, which is Hashem answers our tefillos, is going to be that much more powerful. Let's see a number of other nafkaminas of this idea. How can we have a number of other nafkaminas to this idea that Tainus Esther is actually a Tainus Shel Simcha, and that it's particularly part of the Purim celebration, not just happens to be a day before Purim. Look at number three. The Gemara here is talking about some of the most strange things, the most strange thing about Purim, which is not relevant in Zman HaZeh, but in the Mishnah, it's the strangest thing all of Purim, is the five different days you could read Megillah. Right, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th. Right, all depending on where you live, what the situation is, and the year, and all this stuff. So the Gemara is trying to figure out where do we get such a concept from. So 14th and 15th, that we know already from the Megillah, Shushan Purim and Purim for everybody else. But what about these other 3 days beforehand? So first, the Gemara has a diuk because the lashon in the pasuk is l'kayim yisimei ha'purim ha'ele bizmanehem. I should have said bizmanam. So bizmanehem teaches us another two. Just like there's 14th and 15th, then there must be another two. So let's work backwards. That gives us 13th and 12th. But there's another one in the Mishnah, even 11th. How do we get 11th? Says the Gemara an amazing thing. Kramer of Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Shlosha asar zman kila lakolhi v'lo tzarech l'rabuyei. Actually, when we said bizmanehem teaches us another two, the other two are 12 and 11. We skip 13. That drasha does not include 13. So the 14th and 15th are in the Megillah. 11th and 12th are bizmanehem, adding an extra two. So what about the 13th? What's the source for the fact that in certain circumstances you can read on the 13th? Says the Gemara, lo tzarech l'rabuyei. You didn't need a special drasha for the 13th. It's obvious you can read on the 13th. Because Yom Yud Gimel was a zman kehila lakol. A time of gathering. Now what does that mean? Totally ambiguous. Machlokas Rishonim as a result. Rashi says, what is zman kehila lakol? Hakol nikalu lihinokem me oyvehem b'shushan b'mishar makomos. They all gathered to fight back against their enemies on the 13th. In the other places where the enemy was sparse, it only took one day, v'yinachu, they rested on the 14th, Purim. Shushan, where the enemy was strong, it took an extra day to win, they didn't rest until the 15th. But the war started, the Jewish army gathered on the 13th. Zman Kila Lakol. It's a historical reference. So since Zman Kila Lakol, they gathered for war on the 13th, obviously, Memela, you could read the Megillah then. Okay, that's Rashi's pshat. Says the Rosh, however, no. In the name of Rabbeinu Tam, lo nehira, Rashi, he doesn't like Rashi. The Havle the Memer Zman Milchama. The Ikra is not the Kehila then, it's say that it's a Zman Milchama the 13th. Yet how come the Lashon of the Gemara, Megillah, is that it's a Zman Kehila? Therefore, says Rabbeinu Tam, rather, Zman Kila Kolhi, Shakol Misatvin Lahi Tainis Esther, Ubam Bilek Farim Layaros Lomer Slichos Atachnunim. Amazing pshat. Rashi says Zman Kila Kol is referring to Amogaven, all the way back then. The Rabbeinu Tam says Zman Kila Kol means the 13th every single day, every single year. Not that once upon a time they gather on the 13th. Every year we gather on the 13th. It's called Tainus Esther. Everyone, and of course you have to have slichas and laning and everything. So everyone, and if you remember the context of the Gemara getting the Megillah, even the people from the small towns and the villages, they came to the big cities for Tainus Esther, and therefore we could read the Megillah then. So if you take a look at the bottom sheet, Kotras Chanukah Megillah, he asks on the Rabbeinu Tam, he asks on the Rosh, what in the world the Shemitah have to do with Har Sinai? What do these two things have to do with each other? Because they came together, because of Tainus Esther, therefore you could read a Megillah? What's the connection? It doesn't make any sense. At least according to Rashi, it makes sense. It's part of the story itself. But Tainus Esther? So he says, you see from the bottom line, Mitzvah Pesuminisa Shel Purim, Hu Gama Tainus. No, you see, it's a mistake. Tainus Esther is not separate from Purim. It's part of the same Pesuminisa's Purim. Mishimachi kibbalem devri atzomos v'sakosam. Hainu taimu derbeinu tam. The kevim de nikva yid gimel atainus Esther. Shapir ro'i l'kriya. Kevim de humim. Me hayomim hakvuim l'pesuminisa shal Purim. V'lo tzarech l'rabuye. I.e., the same ideas we saw from Salvechik, from the Ravid, from the Kolbo. That if you understand that the overall theme of Persuminisa is like an umbrella theme which encompasses both Tainus Esther and Purim, again, for the reason that if you start off with the tsar and the vulnerability or the pain or the fear, perhaps is the best word, of Tainus Esther, you appreciate the salvation of Purim that much more. And therefore, the idea of celebrating the Nais is only, or at least fully, appreciated for sure, if you realize where they're coming from, right? The me'evel liyagon, me'afela la'ora. If you didn't have any afela, you don't appreciate light. Right? You go to the blind museum for an hour, you come out, all of a sudden you appreciate that you could see. If you were never blind, you don't appreciate that you could see. If we didn't know about Tainus Esther, what's the big whoop about Purim? I would add, especially since there's no Nes Nigla, you really wouldn't appreciate it. It's just a lesson in political science. Ah, you realize what was happening before. If you realize the me'afela, then you can appreciate the la'ora. The evel, then you appreciate the sason v'simcha. Tainus Esther is crucial, it's inherent, it's connected to Purim, because or else you can't appreciate the Persumanisa. And therefore, it makes sense, since Tainus Esther is part and parcel of the Persumanisa, You could read Megillah then too, yeah. It's not more important than the 14th. It's just Lo Tzarach L'Rabuye. So it wasn't the original Takana. You're right, it's true, was that you could ask Akasha, why didn't we just make the whole holiday on the 13th? Okay, that's a question I don't necessarily have an answer to. I could guess an answer to. I don't think it would be. But that's maybe really the best way to ask your question. But given that the holiday is the 14th, period. What about the 13th? The answer is Enochanami. That we can logically deduce. We can extend on our own Mikra Megillah to the 13th. Well, why would we ever think the 11th and the 12th? We wouldn't have. Oh, that's a chiddush of Bizmanayim. The Rambam, in number 4, Hilchos Taniyos, tells us an amazing thing, which I can't really explain, but just it'll make a little bit more sense in light of everything we're seeing. The Rambam says that all the Rabbanan fasts that we have are going to be no longer fasts in the time of Mashiach, but actually they're going to be Yomim Tovim. Wonderful, great. Comes along with Salvechik here in the same piece in Har Ekedem, Yeshut Histapek, Im Bimos HaMashiach, Yenoek HaTainis Esther, V'lo Yibatel. He wonders, perhaps, Tainis Esther will still be in effect after Mashiach. Didn't the Rambam say that all the Tzomos are going to be Libatel and turned from sad days into Yom Tovim? That only makes sense for fast days which are sad days. But maybe a fast day which is itself a Zecher L'Neis, it won't be. As he says here, Tainis Esther in Yonah Kashur Im Yom HaPurim. It's connected to Purim. He Gufa Habikiyam Mesuyam Shosem Las Purim. In itself, it's part of the fulfillment of Mitzvah's Purim. Im kein kumosha Purim lo yibatel, kumo kein yishlom detayis Esther lo tibatel, v'hu meseder hayomtiv shel Purim. Now, this is like, you know, Hilchos of the Mashiach, so it's a very, we hope it'll be a very relevant nafgamina soon. It's a hopeful nafgamina. But again, in light of understanding of Tainis Esther, it takes on some meaning as well. On a related point, which Rav Salavitch alluded to, we see from the Gemara Megillah right below, from the Rambam, that similar the idea of Megillas Esther as well. Kol Sefer Nevi'im, Kol Aksuv Masin Li Batel Mas Mashiach. Again, what does this mean? It's a very radical Rambam. If I remember correctly, I think the Ravid goes crazy on this Rambam. But the Rambam says it, that all of Tanakh will be Batel in the time of Mashiach, except for Megillas Esther. Yimei Purim Lo Yibatel. Again, it's all connected. It's all connected. But not only that, in the same piece in Har Ekedem, the quote from the Rav's uncle, Rav Velvel, what did the Rambam mean when he says in the time of Mashiach, Yimei Purim? What are Yimei Purim? So, Pashup Shad is, it means Shushan Purim and Purim. But the Brisker Rav apparently thought maybe it means Tainis Esther as well. Which, again, works into the suffix that the Rav had in the first Rambam. Maybe that's the Rambam is answering his own the question. Will Tainis Esther still be around in Yimos Mashiach? Maybe that is Yimei Purim. Maybe that is Yimei Purim. Okay, one more nafgamina or so, and then we're going to get back to the question we started with. We may even end on time. It's a miracle. Speaking of miracles, that would be Persume Nisa. You'd have to show the tapes of all the other weeks, and that'll be the accent to highlight. I can do Purim Torah on myself. Okay. The Rambam in Hilchos Taniyos, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yedaled. Kol Ashari B'Tainis. It's a fast day. Bein Shai Misan Al Tzarosu Al Chalomo, Bein Shai Misan Al Tzibur Al Tzarosu. Whether it's a personal private fast day, something bad is happening to you, you had a bad dream, or whether it's a Klal Yisrael fast day, it's Tisha B'Av, it's Asar B'Tavis, it's Som Gedalia. Whatever the fast day is, if you're fasting for religious purposes, says the Rambam, Harizel Lo Yinhog, which is another way of saying you shouldn't be watching Operation Thunderbolt all day, and you should be watching all the other movies at the camps show all day. They'll dig at the camps when you're dealing with like 10-year-olds, but like when 15-year-olds spend the whole day watching movies, so that's really not the point. It may be necessary because they don't know what else to do with you, because we're not all on the level of this Rambam. But it's important to know what we're supposed to be doing on a fast day. We're not supposed to be just enjoying ourselves, but not eating. We're not supposed to be just having a light, fun day, but just not eating. It's supposed to be a day of serious and somber self-reflection and in tshuva, appropriately, hopefully. So again, Shaila is, what about Tainis Esther? Tanis Esther you can watch movies all day. Maybe, said the Rav, maybe Tanis Esther is different. Again, just like we said, we weren't sure about being Batel Limos HaMashiach, maybe Tanis Esther is different than all our fast days. So maybe also, maybe in this Rambam, where the Rambam said the fast day is supposed to be somber and self-reflective and you may tshuva, he says, maybe not. Maybe Purim is not. Maybe Tanis Esther is not. Now you could say, and I think it would be an important thing, if the idea is to commemorate what they did, so they were doing tshuva. They were being marech betvila. So in terms of a commemoration, I think it's for sure, I think you for sure would be appropriate to be having that kind of a serious davening in tshuva. But whether you should be sad, which is what we are on the other fast days, right? It's not just about not eating, it's about being sad. So there, l'chora, that would not apply to Sinus Esther, based on everything we're saying. And now let's end with where we began, which is that why are we not having shir next week? Why is there a fast day on Thursday, even though Sinus Esther isn't calendarically until Shabbos, and therefore it should be ma'achrin, it should be pushed off until Sunday. So the Magid Mishnah asked that question. Take a look at number 6. The Magid Mishnah gives the obvious answer. What's the obvious answer without even looking at the Magid Mishnah? You can't fast then, it's Purim. Tough luck. Yeah, says the Magid Mishnah, Posh, Yefshar Lachra Ad Yom Aleph, Fishu Purim. Duh. What are you going to do? All right, that's not a fun answer though. The Shiltos on Parshas Vayakel says something amazing. And relates to our mahalach. Ubizman shachal yud gimel ba'adar lios b'shabbos magdimin. Mus'anin b'chamishi b'shabbos. We fast on a Thursday. Why? Look what he says. Ibnei shehu nes. Ibnei magdimin l'machar. Amazing thing. Again, you can read this too fast. If you're not reading carefully, you might think he's talking about what? If I just told you the words, and I'll give you two hints. The month of Adar, mipnei shehu nes. I'm talking about Purim, but the Shiltos is not talking about Purim. Amazing Shiltos. He's talking about Tanis Esther. Tanis Esther is described as a day of Nes. A miracle. We want to celebrate that sooner, not later. And we could end with where we started, the Kolbo. We mentioned the Kolbo, like the Ravid that Soloveitchik quoted. The Kolbo, in essence, is the same thing, making the point about Megillas Tanis not applying in terms of preventing Tanis Esther. Therefore, he says in a similar vein about this, "Hu Tanis shall simcha ul zikaron hanes." Therefore, kibaluhu besimcha, but also shalayim v'alzaram. Not only at that time, but for all generations, it was a kabbalah besimcha to have Tanis Esther. The Tanis that nikra Tanis Esther v'imchalios b'shabes magdimin. Right, it's not a coincidence that right after he talks about how this is a day of simcha, he mentions that if it's on Shabbos, we make it on Thursday. It's transparent. It's as if he's saying very explicitly and clearly, why do we make it on Thursday? Because it's a Yom of Simcha. Aval, as opposed to Echem Midal Tzomos, the other four fast days, Ma'achron, V'dochon, Osadar, Shabbos. What's the difference? And as he just told us, beautifully, because Tanis Esther is Simcha and Zikaron Hanes. So, none of us love fast days, I mean, unless we're just on a diet, but none of us love fast days, and the truth is that as the day goes on, it gets harder to learn when we're hungry and have a headache and whatever. But hopefully, at least this year, when we have a week from now, Tanis Esther, we should at least go into it with the right mentality, that on the one hand, we should again be able to identify with the tzara and the fear that the Jewish people had at that time. On the other hand, we should have already in our mind, that Tanis Esther, this is not a sad day. It's a happy day, because we know how this story ended. And this story ended in a very happy, celebratory way. And to start, to mention the Rambam once again, the Rambam is very important. The Rambam says in the Hakdamah Mishnah Torah, there in his Minyan Mitzvos, that this is a chizuk to us. But the koch of tefillah, and the koch of tshuva, and that if we are mechazuk our own tefillah and our own tshuva, just like Hashem answered the Jewish people then, Hashem could answer us now. And certainly there are a lot of things we all need personally and collectively now. So halavai, Hashem should answer those tefillahs on this. Everyone should have a freilich and Purim. Don't do anything you'll be embarrassed to tell your kids about. That's my rule of thumb.